live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 291. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. We've got a big show this evening. My co-host, Jonathan Birdsong, will be joining us momentarily, but we've got a big show tonight. We've got college basketball talk. We're going to talk Purdue Boilermakers. We're going to talk Indiana Hoosiers, all things Big Ten basketball, all things college basketball. We are in March. Conference tournaments are next weekend. Then we've got the NCAA selection show and the best time of the year, the NCAA tournament. We'll talk that, myself and Jonathan, this evening. We've got NBA talk, the Pacers updates, where we're sitting with Indiana. We'll talk that as well this evening. We've got NFL news and notes. The NFL Combine was just in town this past week. Myself and Jonathan will talk NFL. We'll talk free agency that's getting ready to start next week. All these different types of free agents. A lot of good ball games on tonight. And then we got a couple quick hitters here and there we'll talk about. But can't start the show this evening. Gave the rundown already, but can't start the show this evening without our co-host, our co-pilot, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, man. It's good to be back in the saddle, man, as I used to say, man. I'm glad you gave the rundown. I don't even have to ask that question, man. This is super exciting times here. Crossroads Sports, man. I feel like it's always in at the start of March is when things kind of start picking up, man, right around Final Four time, man. You know what I'm saying? We're going to – me and Brandon Reif will be at Butler tomorrow. Yeah. Talking to a journalism class tomorrow. So y'all can check for that. It'll be all over social media. You know that.
By the way, right. I'm thinking about it. Little housekeeping notes. Make sure to send me the time and the classroom – and all that in the building.
Oh, yeah.
Give me that information. I don't have any of that yet.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I got you. I'm sorry. It's all in my head.
No, you're good, man. You're good. I wanted to say it now before I forgot later.
No, yeah. So we'll get all that out. And then next Monday, we'll be at the Horizon League Championship here locally in the Circle City, man. So great times. You know what I'm saying, ahead for Crossroads Sports and even more. I got some other, you know what I'm saying, things up my sleeve, you know what I'm saying, Brandon does too. I'm ready to talk, you know what I'm saying, some quality college basketball and NBA tonight, man, as well, man. So, Brandon Reif, where you want to start at?
Yeah, John, let's dive right in. Let's go to, let's go college basketball. Let's dive in college basketball. College basketball at its greatest. I've got my TV screen next to my office here. We've got four games on, multiverse screen. Last night, we've got a lot of ball games going on this time. It's March Madness. We've got the conference tournament starting up. We got the selection show coming, the NCAA's tournament coming up. A lot of great things. Let's start locally here, John. Last night, Purdue went to Illinois, traveled to Champaign, took on the Fighting Illini. Boilers were down at the half, came back in the second half, showed their reluctancy, and ended up getting the victory at a strong Illinois team. Very impressive for Purdue. John, I call it the Braden Smith game. Braden Smith shelled out in that game. It wasn't just Zach Edey. The people on Twitter, well, Zach Edey, it's just that. This offense is more than just Zach Edey. Everybody was hitting shots. Mason Gillis hitting threes. Fletcher Lawyer finally found his shot back last night as well. Purdue Boilermakers ended up being, now they have outright conference champs. They won the actual conference championship with a share, but now second straight year outright. Hasn't happened since 2007, 2008, when the Buckeyes of Ohio State have done it. But, John, I'm gonna relish these moments of where Purdue's at and the conference championship, because you don't know when you're gonna be there next. But it was great to see. I'm excited and I'm nervous at the same time of what's on the horizon, just a few weeks away here in Indianapolis when they play game one.
Well, you know, Brandon, you know the Big Ten tournament. That's what's up next, man. I know we're all still looking for. There's been a whole lot of talk about number one seed overall. And that's cool, too. Those are things that you just kind of have banner type where, and you know what I'm saying, you use as, you know, a painter can use technically as a resume builder. You know what I'm saying, right? But, like, nah, man, Purdue, I think they take things one game at a time. They know they got the NCAA jitters. They know that they haven't been as a school, as a program, to the Final Four since, like, 1980. And all that kind of, does it weigh heavy? I think the fact that they've had recent tournament, you know what I'm saying, failure, I think that weighs more heavy than any type of, like, we got to get to the Final Four, you know what I'm saying? But I'll just say this. This is the best team, regardless of what anybody says. I got into a barbershop conversation with somebody said, well, Ivy was there. Like, hey, man, Jaden Ivy, of course, improves any basketball team, but, like, you know, that he was wanting to go. And I don't even think, would he have been a senior this year? Or just, you know, well, yeah, would have senior, yeah, it would have extra year, you know, saying,
no.
Whatever.
He would have,
no?
Would he been, would he been a senior or a junior?
I think he would have been, it's been his fourth year. I think.
Okay.
Remember, he left early after his sophomore season.
Yeah. He only had eight points in that game last year.
Right. But regardless, like I said, regardless of all that, you know what I'm saying, this is a balanced team. And, you know, Lance Jones, I call him, you know what I'm saying, he's going to be somebody's a summer league, you know what I'm saying, he's going to be that player on somebody's summer league team. And this team, you know, watch him go. Braden Smith. You got quality shots, you know what I'm saying, clutch shots out of Mason Gillis last night, even though the crowd was kind of, you know what I'm saying, teasing him a little bit. That's technically a game, Brandon, that Illinois wins when Purdue kind of, you know what I'm saying, kind of starts looking there, man. So,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying, you're right. You said it. They showed some resilience, and they didn't wilt. Purdue rose to the occasion, all those things, and they came out with a victory, man. I'm saying, Brandon, like, don't necessarily be thinking about the Final Four tomorrow. Right, you gotta be thinking about the Big Ten tournament. I know they get a bye and all that. Think about winning. Put another trophy case. Put another trophy in the trophy case. That's what I text down to. I'm definitely honest with you. I'm just keeping ready 100. But everybody knows, you know what I'm saying, our good buddy is Coach Brandon. I say, hey man, keep on stacking the trophy case. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of the, you know what I'm saying, a lot of that criticism we all know comes from the folk, right, down south in Bloomington town. You know what I'm saying? Well, you haven't won a banner, that. Final Four, and those things true, but, like, their program is in a shambles where Purdue is, you know, staying on the cusp of, you know, potentially, you know what I'm saying, doing something historical this year because though I think, you know what I'm saying, the tournament is the most unpredictable thing. You can count how many times it's been, you know what I mean, how many times all the number ones have made it or, you know what I'm saying, all the number two, whatever, you know what I'm saying, all those, you know, statistical things. But, you know what I'm saying, this is the best time. Purdue, this is the best team, like I said, the most balanced team Purdue has ever had, like in recent, in the painter years, it feels like. And, like, you know what I'm saying, with this field, I you know what I'm saying, anybody with any type of betting sense, you know what I'm saying, I would put my money on Purdue.
Yeah, it's Final Four or bust. They have to be in the Final Four. John, you posted a great clip this morning with John Rothstein and Gary Parrish and them on CBS talking about this Purdue team. And just how, John, I don't even know if last year's Purdue team would have handled a hostile environment like Illinois, like it was last night. The resiliently coming back on a game like that, this team – this is kind of the games you need, and Painter kind of made a note of it in his press conference the other day that every game now basically is like a tournament game, and it's time to step up, and it's sad. I said to one of my friends, I said, it's sad, man, that I celebrated the Big Ten, but I put what I say. I said, job not over. Job's not complete yet, right? I mean, they're going to win the Big Ten again by three games. This is the second year in a row they've won the Big Ten by three games, which is huge in this conference. With how it is, and I know the part of the conference has sucked overall, but that's not Purdue's fault. You know, Purdue's playing how they're going to play, but they have the most quad wins out of all the teams. They're probably going to be the number one overall seed as of right now in the NCAA tournament. That would put them there in Indianapolis. UConn would be the two as of right now. Three is Houston, and the four would be Arizona. So Purdue and Arizona would match up on that side of the bracket. So we'll see. I'm excited for this Purdue team. As long as Fletcher, here's my thing. The way Purdue loses, I've said it twice on previous shows, they go like 1 or 2 for 14 or 2 for 18, 2 for 20 for three-pointers, and those aren't falling.
Yeah,
they play very quick and athletic, bigger guards because Smith and Lawyer, that's what St. Peter's did. That's what Fairleigh Dickinson had. They had quicker guards than the Boilermakers, and that's what got them in trouble because they were able to find that next guy for a shot if they didn't take it.
I'm not going to say it's necessarily matchup for matchup way to beat Purdue, but if you can get them to turn the ball over heavy,
yep.
I think in the Northwestern loss, they turned it over something terrible, over 10 times in the first half alone. The Ohio State game was also a turnover nightmare for them. So, like, if you can get them to turn the ball over, you know what I'm saying? I think it's Seton Hall didn't beat them. That's the homie who got the job to go to Seton Hall. But you know what I'm saying? St. Pete. Again, just, you know what I'm saying? To turn them over. They weren't able to get into their half court set. And that's kind of where they want to start everything half court. You know, that's where Zach Edey is most respected. He's option A, right? And that's kind of where all the other options kind of fall into place afterwards. So,
right.
But those are the things to kind of be watching out for. Like, you know what I'm saying? Anybody can kind of turn the ball over or get Purdue to turn the ball over heavy. Those are the keys to how to beat Purdue. But, yeah, I agree with you, Brandon. Final Four bust, man.
It's got to be. And I'm not nervous, but I'm starting to get that a little bit because they you have to because I don't know if they're going to be able to do it next year, right? I mean – I'm going to be 4 or 5 years from down the road, and I'll be like, damn, I didn't really enjoy that run these last couple of years that the Boilermakers had in the regular season and winning these conference tournaments. You know what? You can go for the three-peat next, three-peat for the Big Ten. It's been a while since they've done that, 93, 94, 95. So good news, Boilermaker land. They got one game left, senior day coming up. So then we start the big dance. That'll be up in Minnesota.
Right.
So looking forward to that. On to the IU side, John, and I got to start it with a little bit of breaking news.
Uh-oh. Long as it ain't bagpipes.
It's not bagpipes. It's not bagpipes. Breaking news from the Indiana Hoosiers. Zach Olsterman from the Indianapolis Star is reporting that sources have told him, and he tweeted this about 5 minutes ago, that IU coach Mike Woodson will return for the 2024-25 season.
Right. Good news.
Good news for Boilermaker fans. I tweeted out.
Wow.
Great news for the Boilermaker fans because that means you get more mediocrity for the next year at least. But there's a couple things. Number one, John, there was a petition. And when's the last time? When did you ever think there would be a petition going around Indiana University to fire their basketball coach?
Man,
right?
That was pretty bad. Yeah.
Petition going out there. Second, now Dusty May is going to take that offer from either Ohio State or Louisville, and he will be a new head coach at one of those two places. It's a craziness. And then also, the fact, John, and I put it out last night after I saw Osterman's report, and I sent it to you, Mike Woodson, Indiana, had a contract amendment that was signed last August that added not just additional salary, John, but it also bolstered the buyout protection to his original deal. It also contained language that would mitigate the immediacy of his university's duty to pay Woodson in the event of a termination without cause. These dumbasses down in Bloomington, they just hire these coaches and have the most largest buyout ever. Have they not learned from Tom Allen? I mean, they basically have Bobby Bonilla deal for Mike Woodson. He's going to get a $1 million year payout when they do fire him for the next, like, 15, 20 years.
Hey.
Just complete idiocy going on down in Bloomington. It makes zero sense.
His agent is a genius.
Right? Just dumbassery. Just, I mean, when I saw that last night, I said, are you kidding me? Like, Mike Woodson swindled him. He swindled his own university to get more money and say, hey, you know what? Hey, let's protect me a little bit here because the cupboard's a little bare after Trace Jackson leaves and Huchefino leaves. The cupboard's a little bare, so I got to protect myself, you know. And I use just like, hey, look, where can we sign? Let's do it. Let's do it. You're putting yourself in a pigeonhole situation now, Indiana. And as a Purdue fan and for other Purdue fans, I applaud it. I applaud it, Mike Woodson, and I hope he stays a coach for the next 20 years so we can continue to see that mediocrity down there at that campus. They need to fire the AD. I know we're probably long from credentials now, but...
right.
Your thoughts on the whole situation.
They're in a deep conundrum. I know also the article, but where not the article, the quote from Bruce Pearl kind of leaked out there as well. Where it was kind of odd, you know what I'm saying, where he said Indiana just dreams as they do. You got a year in the hot zone with Auburn right now in the middle of the SEC, probably, you know what I'm saying, second and best league that we haven't called to put basketball. You talking about you want to coach Indiana? Hey, man, if I was Auburn, I'd be like, man, get Bruce Pearl's ass up out of here. That's just me. But I don't necessarily think the marriage between Bruce Pearl and IU's are in any type of – I don't think it's going to happen any type of way any soon, ever. You know what I'm saying? But who knows, man? And in 2 years, two more seasons, man, how desperate IU might be. They have to have a better plan than to just let this thing kind of like crash and burn, or to kind of just like metal into like a 5-6 seed, 7 seed, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I'm saying, seeded team in the Big Ten for IU. That's unheard of for them.
Right.
IU is a blue blood. That every time they put that list on Fox basketball CBS basketball, and they say, hey, Kansas blue blood, I'll be like, yep. Kentucky blue blood, I'll be like, yep. Because, you know, it's just the NBA pipeline, really. You know what I mean? And,
right.
they won a championship. Kyle Perry won a championship. But, you know, and then they say, IU blue blood. I'm like, not no more. Still is. UConn still is. Right?
Would you call Villanova? I guess how the run they've had. I would say so.
Dude, they have.
Yeah.
And I get it, man. Jay Wright's not there, but like the you know, saying the next man up is, you know, it's just a matter of time.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Villanova's not capable, but yeah, man. Villanova's a blue blood. Bro, IU, where you at? So I don't know what the plan is. I don't really don't know even if like what the recruiting, you know what I'm saying, it you know what I'm saying, looks like then for next season. When you talk about a game, but when you talk about the game management, like how can IU, is this inconsistent, we have inconsistent play, but like damn, Brandon, we got inconsistent coaching as well. How can you have spotty minutes from Leo where he come in and he gets one or two shots, and then another game, like you don't even play him, or he doesn't, you know what I'm saying, you don't use him effectively. And I'm not just picking on Lil; it's other players as well,
right?
You know what I mean. So, I don't know, man. Uh-oh, got another break.
I got more breaking news. John Rothstein also reported that the IU is having Mike Woodson return next year, so that put that to bed. But the other breaking news, John, I just got a report. I want to report it to you, to everybody first. It's first reported by Crossroads Sports. The Indiana Hoosiers have been eliminated from the 2025 NCAA tournament contention. That's breaking news. Their bubble is already busted for next year for the NCAA tournament.
Get
so
here, man.
Put it on Crossroads Sports to be the first ones to tell you that for next year. Just wanted to put that out there.
They're making a tournament, y'all.
They thought they were this year. They thought they – listen, as much shit that I took during this past fall from the IU faithful that this was the year, this was this. Our recruiting class we have coming in, Gabe Cups from Ohio's going to lead the way. Y'all fell flat on your face. Flat on your face. So I don't want to hear it.
They got a good tip tonight at 9 o'clock against Minnesota. They beat Minnesota.
They do. Now, listen, I took them +5.5 tonight at Minnesota. I took them +5.5. I'm taking a chance for it.
I know Minnesota don't necessarily have no world beaters on their team right now. You know, Quincy, who used to play for Minnesota? Quincy Lewis, that was good. Quincy Lewis. Right?
Joe Prisbilla?
Yo, wow. Yeah, ain't no Joe Prince Billis on this team, man, but they have they are undefeated in the month of February. So there is that, man. So they're tough at home. They are tough at home. So all you got their heads cut out for.
Yeah, I think they can you can play like they did the second half against Maryland, because the first half was god-awful, but if they can come out the way they played the second half, they've got a shot tonight. I'm going to hope that Woodson can get the boys to play tonight a little bit. So that's why I took the plus 5.5. So we'll see, John. But it's the guard play. And if you look at it, you got to think for next year. Leal's not coming back. Or sorry, not Leal.
Right.
Ware's not coming back. Leal's not. He's gone, obviously. Somebody will transfer out. Galloway could come back if he wants. I don't see why he wouldn't, because he's not going to go in the NBA at all and make it anywhere. Xavier Johnson is out. So Mbako could return. I don't know if he will, but it would be helpful for the Hoosiers if he did. But we'll see, John, because they've got work to do. And they probably need to fire a couple assistants and maybe just put Calvert Chaney as the associate head coach and get some more. You know, when you got your strength trainer flexing on the sidelines the whole freaking time, taking it away from players, that's when you know you ain't got it in the program. So, and I saw it again the other night. Keep flexing, muscle man.
Well, I think we've given enough time for the mediocrity. I told you, man, I like IU. I like all the Indiana teams, you know that. But, like, I think we've given enough time to IU, man. They got their work cut out for them. We know that they got to win. They need to win. They need to find a game with Purdue in the Big Ten tournament. If they can figure out a way to, you know what I'm saying, get to a game with Purdue, I think they get themselves into the NCAA tournament.
I think when the ESPYs come out next year or this summer for Comeback Player of the Year, between all the sports, you know, how somehow DeMar Hamlin, you know, won his comeback player, which I thought was ridiculous, for his thing, Joe Flacco. But dude, I mean, we've got a new candidate that's going to win it no matter what. It's gotta be Kyle Filipowski, man. When you come back to a windmill dunk coming off of a catastrophic season career ending injury during a storm chase, the court. I mean,
people were talking about his draft status is in jeopardy now, man. And like,
oh my God. I'm just glad he's okay, man. That's a true, true comeback story. And I mean, I'm a Duke guy, but I told you that was BS. I thought it was ridiculous, the whole thing.
I don't know, man. But he's supposed to be, you know what I'm saying, going to turn pro in the offseason or whatever, man. I don't know, man. They got enough. Their guard play has gotten a little better, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? When you look at the, you know what I'm saying, what they kind of got there on the court. He has the ability to block shots. He has the ability at times to play strong and to rebound. You know what I'm saying? But like, they're not necessarily scary at all, in any way, shape, or form, man. So, but that's funny that you said, you know what I'm saying? He go out there, and, you know, maybe an NBA scout was in the stands or something, man. He had to show what he could do.
Yeah, I was just really scared, and then it was great to see him after that injury, you know, doing that. Facetious people. Horizon League, John, we're going to be there, as you said, Monday and Tuesday night, both nights we're going to be there at the Horizon League tournament. We had a great time last year. Had a fun time. The first round games from yesterday are complete. IUPUI lost to Cleveland State 85-66. After the game, or then this morning, it was reported Coach Crenshaw and IUPUI have parted ways. Friend of the program, Coach Crenshaw. So we hope we want the best. Wherever he ends up next, he's too good of a coach to not have another spot somewhere, and it'll be good to see how he does. So IUPUI, I'll be looking for a new coach. Milwaukee beat Detroit. Detroit, who's having a miserable season with one win, beat him 83-79, so Milwaukee's advance. And then Purdue-Fort Wayne beat Robert Morris 78-63. That was the 9-8 game. So we've got games set for tomorrow, John. We've got number one Oakland versus Purdue Fort Wayne. We've got number two, Youngstown State against Cleveland State. The three seed is Green Bay, Milwaukee against Green Bay against Milwaukee. And then the other game is the Wright State versus Northern Kentucky. The winners of those four games will advance here to Indianapolis next week where we will be. So I'm looking forward to that. I will keep keeping an eye on it as well.
Yeah, I'll be keeping an eye on as well. I want to touch on the IUPUI coaching, you know what I'm saying, change. Again, yes, man, the homie, he's definitely a friend of the program. Coach came on, you know what I'm saying, and gave us an in-depth when he was an assistant coach at Ball State. I remember Coach Kershaw, you know what I'm saying, we talked a lot about Ball State. We talked a lot about Michael Jordan and the last song, too. But, like, no, man, tough. It's tough to win in Circle City, you know what I'm saying. He finally got the call right. He gets the call to be the IUPUI head coach. Do you know, man, he actually leaves that school in assists at IUPUI. I think he does. He might want to have to double. As far as record books go, and I know he has like a one shining moment for sure. Where they had won Horizon League, and he had a big three
for the career. Matt Crenshaw is your leader, 510 assists.
Wow, I told you. Yeah, Coach Crenshaw. You kind of put those stats up. The time he spent at IUPUI.
Military man as well. Can't forget that.
Right. Yeah, real military man as well. So, like, you know what I'm saying, he'll bounce back. It's hard to win at IUPUI. Think about the background IUPUI and, whose backyard they're in, you know what I'm saying, as far as recruiting is concerned.
And, hey, they've improved all 3 years that he was there. Every year they had more wins.
They did. But, you know, the university and the program, it kind of demands just a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of these teams that me and Brandon are going to be seeing, whether it's – I hopefully we get to see, you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, we're not going to see everybody. But, you know what I'm saying, last year we were privy to see Northern Kentucky. I was kind of wanting to see up close to personal Wright State this year. But guess what? They play each other tomorrow. So we're only going to see one of those teams. But like now, we're going to see these teams it's one and done for them. Most of the teams, maybe if they lose in this tournament, they might get to a CIB, they might get to, you know what I'm saying, NIT. But if they lose in this tournament, the NCAA tournament bid is probably gone. Whoever wins this tournament is automatic, whether they are whoever, you know what I'm saying, sub 500, above 500, whatever. Whoever wins this tournament is automatically punched in, whether they're the Horizon League regular season winner or not. You're automatically punched in, man. And, like, excitement and buzzer beaters, I can't wait. I expect all to see those things, man. We'll be there Monday and Tuesday.
We'll be there both nights. It'll be fun. John, I want to talk Missouri Valley. Missouri Valley tournament starts as well. That starts tomorrow night. Locally from the state, Valpo versus Belmont. Valpo the 12 seed, Belmont the 5. Evansville, the 10 seed versus number 7, Illinois State. Illinois State's played well the last few weeks. Then you've got the buyers. They'll be on Friday. Drake, the 2 seed on a bye. Indiana State, who won the conference regular season first time since 2000 under Royce Waltman. Indiana State with the bye. I don't think they get 2 in, John. I know we've talked about it last week at nauseam, but I'd love to see Indiana State here. Here's the good news. They're part of the bracket. The 2 seed Northern Iowa, the 3 seed, the 2 seed Drake and the 3 seed Northern Iowa and the 4 seed Bradley and them, they'll see the 4 seed if they make it to the final. They don't have to worry about the second and the third place teams. So they at least got that going for them.
Yeah, it's always, I mean, like, you would think, man, after Larry Bird, you know what I'm saying, put on, that was how many years ago? When Larry Bird and, you know, Magic Johnson took that magical run to the Final Four, you would thought that the recruits would be pouring into Indiana State, but and the winning, but it has been far and in between, man. This could be another magical team if they can just navigate this tournament properly and win it. You know what I'm saying? And come out, you know what I'm saying, double champion, regular season champion and tournament champion, and maybe. You know what I'm saying? The selection gods give them a favorable. You know what I'm saying? And not make them a 12. Because that's what's going to happen. if they get in, they're going to make them, you know what I'm saying, they won't be, they shouldn't be. They deserve to be better than a play.
No, I think they should be like an 8 or a 9, probably a 9.
Yes. Yeah, but just because, you know what I'm saying, their resume wasn't necessarily great against the Power 5 or Quad 5. Don't let me get my numbers messed up. But I do know they're preseason Power 5. They didn't fare well against Power 5 top, you know, school. So that's kind of that's going to negate them just a little bit. Even if they do win the tournament, you know what I'm saying, as far as seeding is concerned. But like, no, man, great season by the gang. But what you call them, Brandon? The fighting trees.
Down in
Terre Haute, man. And whether they. If somebody even said, and I doubt it, I can't believe it, man. They said even if they don't win this tournament, that they won't. It's a question that their NIT questionable, and I can't believe
that.
No,
they'll still be in,
man. You put the Indiana State team against any mid major or team or any friends. You know what I'm saying? Would you say Maryland terrible? Indiana State will be Maryland. Indiana State will be Michigan. You know what I'm saying? And all those are Power 5 schools, man. But I think they see, you know what I'm saying, postseason play this year.
I think, and speaking of NIT, you were talking, for the first time ever, the Final Four of the NIT will actually be played here in Indianapolis at Gainbridge. I don't think a lot of people know that the NIT is on a rotating base now. So now those four teams will be playing here in Indianapolis for the Final Four of the NIT. So more basketball in April here in Indianapolis. So looking forward to that. I've got my TV on, John, on the next game I'm watching here. The Ohio Valley Tournament starts tonight. First game here, Southern Indiana against Tennessee State. Southern Indiana, the 8 seed. Had a great year last year, first year in D1. I went to school at USI for my first 2 years. So I've been keeping an eye on the Screaming Eagles since they've went D1 as well. So I've got them here watching them against Tennessee State. So we'll see how they do for their second year in it and going to the Ohio Valley. John, you might want to pour one out. We've got the Pac-12 tournament next week, the very last Pac-12 tournament as we know it. So we'll see what happens with that. But it'll be a good one with your boy Bill Walton late at night. I'll miss it. Does that mean Bill might be, like, doing some, like, Big Ten games, I wonder?
He going to get absorbed? No, man. He'll probably get – they're going to put him back out there at Mount West. He'll be calling Steve Alford games. He'll be calling San Diego State. You know what I'm saying? Long Beach State. You know what I'm saying? All those California schools, man.
Okay. So, anything else college basketball, John? I mean, I guess as I'm just kind of looking through standings, you know, the ACC is going to, you know, North Carolina won, so they're going to come back. It's going to come down. Duke's got a chance to be co-Big Ten or co-ACC champs. They play each other one more time. North Carolina's got a one-game lead on them. And then Virginia, who's just – they're in third, but it's Duke or Carolina that's going to win that conference.
Right.
What's your thoughts with Butler? They've got to be out now, John. I told you last week I put a decent amount of money on St. John's, and they whooped their ass there at Hinkle Fieldhouse.
Yeah, Butler.
Sorry, Butler. We'll see you tomorrow.
They better win tonight against Xavier.
Yes.
And then they got and outside of they can't take a loss in the Big East tournament. They have to win the Big East tournament. That's in order to advance their season. And Brandon. One win can probably get them in the NIT. One win probably gets them in the NIT. I'm saying one win tonight might get them into the NIT.
They're 16-13 right now.
Yeah, one win for sure in the Big East tournament gets them in an NIT bid for sure.
Jonathan Birdsong will be trying his damnedest tomorrow to get an interview with Thad Mata, so we'll see what happens.
I'll be on Butler campus for darn sure. So yeah, line him up.
Yeah, we'll try that. We'll go in the Hinkle, see if we can meet with Coach. Ball State, John. They got a huge win last night.
They did.
Against, I believe it was Kent State. They've got to win and basically have a little bit of help if they want to get to the MAC tournament, which is crazy. They don't let everybody in it, which is, I think, one of the stupidest things. But 13-15, 7-10 in the conference. John, I have to ask you first, please tell me you saw the viral clip over the weekend of how they lost their game.
That tip in?
The ball bounced and the guy went right to the dude? Oh,
yeah.
Heartbreaking, yeah. Man. Heartbreaking.
Yeah, our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, said, because, you know, you play football, they said, man, everybody, he said, everybody rolled over in their grave.
Damn.
He said his class was whatever 19. I don't want to date him, but you know, say class of 19 is rolling over their leg with that play, bro. What the heck?
That was rough, and I was like,
yeah.
Damn. Between that and the way some of these sectional games ended here in the state of Indiana, it's high school sectional time. The Gear and Catholic game ended. The ball was getting thrown out of bounds. Dude just throws it up over his head, right to his guy for the game winning basket.
Mm-hmm.
It's something about tournament ball, state of Indiana. It does something to you. So,
right.
But Ball State, they've got one more game left, John. They take on Bowling Green, who's 16-12 on Friday night. So, and that'll be at Bowling Green. So we'll see what happens for our boys there up in Muncie. Any other things, college basketball? We'll have a better idea next week with the conference tournaments going on. One of my favorite weeks, conference tournaments.
No, man. I know some other conferences named like Player of the Year. I know the SEC and on the women's side, SEC Player of the Year was Angel Reese. I know on the women's side, SEC Coach of the Year was Dawn Staley. Just off the top of my head, I know the MAC also released a bunch of Player of the Year awards, as did the Horizon League. I kind of share some of those things on the Crossroads Sports Instagram story and as well on the Facebook page. It's good to see these athletes. Some of these athletes. I'll probably get an extra, you know, they might, sometimes they'll get an extra season or whatever, and they might even get a, you know, say, you would find themselves on another team as well, you know what I'm saying? But like, now this is the time, this is the time where star players are going to try, because they know the scouts are out there. They know the scouts, whether they be overseas
right.
scouts or NBA scouts or whatever, you know what I'm saying, to try to get all eyes on your team. If you're the star player from, you know what I'm saying, the MAC or the star player from the Horizon, what better time right now than to go out there and beat a Purdue? What better time, you know, or whoever, or Duke, whoever
That's
you draw up, or go out there or go out there and score 35, you know what I'm saying, become that next, hey, man, did you see that? Remember when Steph Curry, that, you know what I'm saying, his first little run, and you know what I mean, and nobody knew
yeah,
who
with Davidson.
This little Davidson team, right? So there might be, I don't know. But you never do, because I didn't know who Steph Curry was before then. You know what I'm saying? Before he became
Steph.
Oh, wow. You know what I mean? So it could be, you know what I'm saying? This is why the tournament is so unique. You know what I'm saying? The next one could be out there.
Okay. Switching over. By the way, I want to thank our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and Mavericks Custom Motorsports. Without both of them, we would not be able to do our show. So thank you to both of our sponsors for that. Without them, we won't be able to do what we're doing. So shout out to them.
Right.
Going to the association, Indiana Pacers. A little bit of a lull these last few games. They got a big win last night against the Mavericks, 137-120. Tyrese seemed like he was coming back around and all this. You've got the Timberwolves tomorrow night, and then you go to the Magic and to the Thunder. So the gauntlet, the Pacers have the sixth hardest schedule to finish the season. Contrary, look at your teams around you in the conference. The Magic have the 28th hardest, and the Miami Heat have the 29th hardest. And obviously the Heat are starting to roll. So just some food for thought there with the Pacers.
I got a question, Brad.
Go ahead.
What was Tyrese's stat line last night?
Yeah, give me a second. I'll get it for you.
Yeah. Because I know the team, everybody was zipping last night.
Tyrese, 8 of 15 shooting, 3 of 10 from 3. Still a lot of 3. That step back 3 thing, we've got to get that a little bit in check. But 19 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists.
See, that's, I know you like double-digit points and double-digit assists. I think you remember you saying, like, maybe 20. I think the Pacers, the best version of the Pacers, this team, is when everybody is scoring. Like, you know what I'm saying? They got double digits for everybody. Because, like, last night, it was coming from all sides. And they didn't relent. It's like they took it personal that they lost the game before. From Peja to Miles, especially Miles. Miles led the team scoring last night. And it was an active body. I'm not saying every defensive play he made was perfect, but you know what I'm saying, he was an active body. McConnell off the bench looked like a starter, you know what I'm saying, and Ben Mathurin, you know what I'm saying. Now you see why they was okay with letting Buddy Hield go. Ben Mathurin is going to be a monster.
Yeah, but I still think Buddy with this team gives you something.
Granted, it's only so many balls you can shoot.
But he gives you more than what the hell Doug McDermott's giving you.
Well, they had
to. No, I don't hear no well. It's true. Marcus Morris, what's he doing? He ain't on the team.
They kept on fighting minutes between those two dudes, though. Now it's just Ben Mathurin. There's nobody else looking at Doug McDermott. Okay.
We don't have to fight minutes, and you're down by 38 to New Orleans. Yep.
Man, don't even get me started talking about New Orleans. That game was something they should never, like, put on film. And then some of the I watched New Orleans their next game. They beat they won it, but like man, for Zion Williamson to be this dude dunked almost as hard as LeBron James. For him to say that the only way he's gonna be in a dunk contest next year is if he's an All Star.
Charity.
Dude, man, please, I couldn't believe it.
He said that's a charity, man. You wanna give me an All Star, I'll do it. He wants to get a charity vote.
You should want to be in the All-Star game to elevate your brand and elevate your name, not because you're going to be man, this dude is mentally off, bro.
He had 16 points last night. 16 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists for Zion.
I mean, that's nice stat line, but, like, that's not necessarily All-Star level.
No.
Not for his talent.
He's stat-wise this year, he's averaging 22 points a game. That's 29th best. 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Shooting 57% from the field. So.
And it's kind of a part-time play. I ain't super critical of Zion Williams.
I was more critical last year than this year.
Yeah, when he says cat wild shit like this, like, man, I'm not going to play an All-Star game. Like, dude, the vibe was from last year's All-Star game, from this year's All-Star product, was it was a bum product. I said, why wasn't him and Obi Toppin, not little brother Toppin, like Obi Toppin and Zion Williamson, why weren't they in the dunk contest? And I still couldn't get a straight answer because they dunk every night. They had 3 to 4 or 5 dunks every night. And to not be in the dunk contest, it just didn't make sense.
Do you have Jason Tatum as your MVP, top MVP guy?
Man, you know what? Boston got effed over last night against Cleveland, man. But they just scissoring. Man, Brandon, he's an MVP. He's the best player. He's the best player on the team. But it's like, you know me, man. I think him and Jalen Brown is close. They talent level. If the Lakers can get to a 6-seed situation, I know they can't. But I know. If the Lakers get a 6-seed, then LeBron James is MVP. LeBron James plays the best.
Oh.
If the Lakers get a 6-seed, he's MVP.
Why? Because people are going to ask, so I'm going to ask for the people, why do you say that statement?
Have y'all not seen? Well, one, that would mean they would be winning. Right now, seemingly he has a special game, and they win it, or they lose it. And unfortunately, like, they've been losing more so than they win it. Right now, I think the Lakers are sitting in the ninth spot. Maybe it might be the tenth. I could be wrong. I don't have the actual format in front of me. But right now they're in a play-in situation. When they win, right, it's usually him playing like lights out, and he's blocking like it looks like, you know, saying 25 years ago. So, but it's also needing the other ancillary parts. I'm not picking on Anthony Davis at this time. Anthony Davis has actually kind of stepped up this year. You know what I'm saying? But when they have to level up against another a Denver, a team like that, they kind of will. When they have to level up against I'm trying to think who else they kind of wet the bed against. But you get my head. You know what I'm saying? A team like that.
Right. They play the Kings tonight, and that's a huge game because they're a game and a half back of them.
See, I'm surprised they beat Oklahoma, a couple of days ago, a couple of nights ago. But again, they'll wilt against Phoenix. They'll beat a Clippers, but then they'll lose to a Minnesota. You know what I'm saying? Again,
are you impressed?
If you want to take it seriously, go ahead.
Are you impressed with Milwaukee? They've won six straight. They won, rallied over the Clippers,
man,
with no Giannis.
If you're Boston, and you're thinking about eventually we're going to have to talk, you know, to lock horns with these dudes. Yeah, Doc Rivers has made it to look better. They had Bobby Portis and Pat Bev.
Yeah, my boy.
You know, going berserk, but like playing significant roles.
They've only lost one game since they've got Pat Bev.
Yeah, we know.
Need something.
It ain't all just him. It ain't all just him, man. Don't get crazy.
No, but you got to have a hype guy on that team that's going to be there for a soldier for your guys, and the Pacers don't have that guy. They don't.
Yeah, Pat Bev has brought a different energy than what was brought into. And isn't that crazy, Brandon? Like, why did they ever get rid of the small forward when they won the championship, when he went to the Clippers.
Tucker?
Yeah. Yeah, they should have just kept him.
Man, he wasn't happy in Los Angeles either.
Man, yeah, right. Because, hell, he was looking for a trade. He was looking for a trade this past trade deadline, man. But like, no, you have to be concerned. And even if you're the Pacers, man, because I want the Pacers. The Pacers are like, we're sitting where right now? Seventh or eighth?
Mm-hmm.
Because they keep on sliding between six and seven, I think, right? The Pacers would want, because of the matchup, a series, whether it's in the first round or second round, right, against Milwaukee, because of the matchup. But like I said, things are kind of sliding around. But I think the Pacers get it. But like, no, you have to be concerned about Milwaukee. They might have kind of got some things answered.
Do you want to give your love fest now for?
For who?
I mean, our man is shooting 47% from the 3-point line, Grayson Allen.
Oh, you're talking about the homie Grayson Allen?
Yeah.
Man, they always keep on saying my homie's a cash.
He's off a contract, man.
He's trade bait. He's played how many teams? He's played for Utah. He's played
Memphis,
for
Memphis, Milwaukee.
You know, say Milwaukee. You know, man, we run out of teams. Anyway. But
no, that's
man,
it. That's all the teams besides Phoenix.
For somebody, I do too. But like for somebody who doesn't take a whole lot of threes, when he gets the opportunity to take, you know what I'm saying, like I say more than, you know, 10 or so.
8 of 12 last night. 8 of 12.
Man, and it's a pretty, he shoots a pretty ball, man. And like Grayson Allen, for that team, that team has to really be hitting on all cylinders for it to win, though. Because Kevin Durant, I think Kevin Durant had like 28 last night. After like missing like 8 in a row in the third or the fourth quarter, he kind of started. He woke up. But Phoenix is a dangerous team. They're still a little woefully thin up front. You know what I'm saying? they're still dependent on Bol Bol to play significant center minutes. You know what I mean? Right? But man, the homie Grayson Allen is leading the NBA. In 3-point percentage, man, that's crazy. That's something I never would have thought would have been on the table, man. Grayson Allen maybe leading the NBA in steals, I can see. If you had told me that, Grayson Allen leading the NBA in technicals, I can see. If you had told me that, Grayson Allen, you know what I'm saying, leading the NBA in threes, I'm shocked. But here we are.
Kevin Durant hasn't made it out of the second round of the playoffs in the last 4 years.
Uh-oh. You got the sizzling. You said he ain't winning the championship.
No, he's not winning a title ever again. Never. He rode the coattails.
Where would George Forsman with LeBron?
He'd have a better shot with the Pacers. Fact.
Yeah, so you ready? Are you ready to trade out Pascal Siakam already?
I mean, here's my thing. I don't want to say I expected a lot more from Pascal, but I mean, my dude, you gotta step up a little bit. You're playing for a contract, right?
Right.
I don't think we're gonna let him walk at all, but I'd like to see a little more. Maybe we'll see more at the playoffs, but see a little bit more.
Yeah.
Fair?
I said, is that fair?
Is
that fair for Peyton? But, like, you know his number's going to be huge, right? His number's going to be huge.
I'm accepting of that. I'm accepting of it. As long as he – listen, as long as you earn it, man. You earn it. And the way you earn it for us, for me, for this city, is those games in March, late March and April and May, right? That's how you earn it. Get us some of those April games, those late April games. That's when you'll earn it.
And he's never – correct me if I'm wrong, Brad. He's never come off as a street clothes guy, has he?
No, I don't feel like he's been.
I know he might have been injured before, but like he's not a. Hey man, let me coach this. Like let me, you know what I mean? Let me run with this injury. You know what I mean? So like, nah, man. I think if he gets the money, the Pacers aren't putting themselves into a. Oh man, you know what I'm saying? A second thought. We shouldn't have did that. But his contract's gonna be big.
Moving over to the NFL, John. By the way, I need you to give some respect to James Harden still. Waiting for that.
Why?
I mean, the dude, they got him first place in the Pacific. Harden's averaging 17, 5, and 8. That's 57th, 84th, and 6th in the league. Man's playing team ball. He ain't being the ball man we thought he would be. So, Michael Pittman. Franchise tag, $21 million next year, John. You okay with it? Uh-oh. Apparently, John is not okay with it. We lost him. Lost him on the call, but we'll get him back here shortly to get his thoughts on Pittman. I do want to say the new NCAA football, college football game that's going to be coming out here in maybe 5 months, 4 months or so. Arch Manning says, this ain't for me. You know, I think it's more because Arch doesn't, A, he's only going to be like a 60-some rating overall. Secondly, he's going to be a backup quarterback to Quinn Ewers. You don't want to tarnish the Manning legacy, the Manning name, with being a backup guy in a video game. So he's going to focus. Just focus on the actual play in itself. So Arch says, I ain't in no video game. John, I don't know if Deep State got us or not, but I was asking you if you liked the Colts tagging Michael Pittman for $21 million.
That mean they had to. Have they yet? Is it official?
They did officially, yes.
They had to. He doesn't have enough touchdowns to garner, like, giving him, you know what I'm saying, over anything over $70 million for 3 years. So they kind of had to. Does he cry? Like, when you think about, hey, man, we could go steal him and then we'd be over. You think about that with Pittman Jr.? If you were a contender? I'm not saying, like, everybody's going to look good if they play in Kansas City, right? If he was a wideout playing in Kansas City. He doesn't have the dropsies, right? So that's another reason why he got signed up. But, like, he doesn't get in the end zone a whole lot. So I think that's why he got the franchise tag.
Okay. Steelers are out on Kirk Cousins. Looks like Cousins here going to be in Minnesota or he's going to go down to Atlanta. Atlanta now are the favorites in Vegas sports books to get Kirk Cousins.
Really?
With that being said, Justin Fields, the Bears saga is still continuing. Atlanta and the Steelers are some teams for that. The Steelers are the second favorite for the Justin Fields sweepstakes. And then yesterday it came out, Russ Wilson was cut $85 million that the Broncos were on the hook for. So basically, Russ is playing a free contract, at least this year, with another team. Vegas odds have came out last night late, the Pittsburgh Steelers as favorites to land Russell Wilson. I'm mixed on it.
You would have to be. Well, the cost saver would be Russell Wilson, Brandon. You would want to have Justin
Fields. At least get some eye candy.
Now, what I'm told is Chicago probably wants a little bit more than what they think they can get back for Justin Fields. The market for Justin Fields is not a first rounder.
Hey, by the way, real quick, our sponsor says, So we now are franchising average receivers? Terrible.
He ain't average, man. That dude got a lot of yards, man. He just don't get in the end zone. That's weird. But think about it, man. How many quarterbacks? What quarterback did he play with? He played with this quarterback?
Yeah, but Scott, I'll tell you this. He's not a diva wideout, right? We haven't heard him say a peep like all these other wide receivers. And if I know my Steelers about diva wide receivers, but this guy's kind of went out there and did his job, hasn't really ruffled feathers at all. He's kind of been a model wide receiver.
Yeah, and don't have to drop.
Now, somebody would say, well, he hasn't earned the right to do that. Well, I mean, he is the number one, you know?
The coach got to also remember to keep some money around. They got to, like, I don't know what Gardner Minshew wants other than starting. Because if he doesn't get to start, because he's not going to be the starter, right?
Right.
Then what kind of compensation was he looking at? From a, you know, saying they have to think about that, because I think the general, they would want to have Gardner Minshew back, but at a certain number, and Gardner Minshew wants to start, and starter means you get to start at a different number. I think this is another cost saving, another cost saving right there. That'll be probably the next shoe if Gardner Minshew is going to be here or not.
How about so looking at it, John. Deontay Johnson now has been reported possibly on the trade block for Pittsburgh. If they can get Russ Wilson, I'm okay with it. I'm okay. We'll see what happens between with him and Kenny. I think Russ, you got that veteran leadership, somebody that's there that can try and control some of these diva wide receivers, somebody who can kind of control and be a game manager on the field. I think it's a better situation with him if he would come to Pittsburgh. I'm not against it. I'd like it. I mean, like I said, it would add a little bit of eye candy in the stands with Sierra. So I'd be fine with that camera panning there a few times throughout the game. I ain't mad at it. So we'll see. And you kind of get him for free because the Broncos got to pay that contract. So I think you kick the tires on it and you see what happens, right? What's the worst that can happen? That's all I can say. What's the worst?
Yeah, he ain't gonna have no office or nothing next to Mike Thomas' office. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
it'll get back to football. It'll get back to football for either one of them, man. I don't know, man. Justin Fields probably ends up probably somewhere in a southern team. You know, or you know what I mean? Somebody else. I can't really put my finger on it.
Butler's up 27-14 with 10 minutes to go in the first. So they're taking care of business as of right now. Buffalo Bills, John, they've kind of released the whole goddamn team this today. The whole team, basically. Defense, they got rid of Nyheim Hines, which he was out after his little skiing accident that he had last year. But
yeah.
Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, and Mitch Morse, all from the defensive side secondary, all of them cut to try to get the Bills under the salary cap.
When you play that super mega star quarterback, this is what happens, man. The after fact, and you don't win, you don't go far deep enough in the playoffs, and you don't win a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? What came back as far as return money, like you have to make certain cuts, man. I know it's tough.
The free agent pool just gained a lot more with that defensive guys.
Right. So,
and at least they got a backup quarterback today.
Stop it. They're going to probably get it. I mean, they got to go young now, don't you?
They see who they got as their backup?
Who?
They re-signed Mitch Trubisky. They did. Mitch is going back to Buffalo. Not in Pittsburgh. But, so Mitch is there. The Eagles and Cowboys are exploring Saquon Barkley deal in free agency. Giants say we're not going to sit there and franchise you. So Eagles, Cowboys are looking. Derrick Henry now is a favorite to land in Baltimore, which that's
really
not good for my Steelers. If Henry ends up there, I thought he would be a Cowboy. I predicted that a while back. The Seahawks,
Brandon,
John,
what's the bigger choke city, Dallas or Philadelphia?
Dallas. Philly's at least won a title in the last lifetime.
Right. Well, okay.
Dallas still.
So,
I mean, maybe Dak will play a lot better. He got a new haircut. I don't know if you saw it.
I wonder if Saquon thinks that Saquon wouldn't be a bad fit in either one of those situations.
No.
Could he get Philadelphia back to the Super Bowl with, you know, but his thing is health, though, man. So I don't necessarily know if Dallas just kind of rolls out a big-time contract for him, or big-time meaning 2 years.
Well, I think he's not going to get the ball the whole time, which I think is good. I think, you know, working with Tony Pollard, splitting the carries there, or even if he goes to Philly, he's splitting it with DeAndre Swift and all those guys in that backfield. They had like four-headed monster there. I will tell you this. The Philadelphia offensive line is going to be having some changes. Obviously, with Jason Kelce retiring, they're going to need to – that's right. A big piece missing in that O-line, so.
Man, Taylor, wasn't at the presser?
No, oh, man. She should have – I wish she was, man. Poor Travis crying, and it's just a damn shame. Damn shame. But,
hey, man, you know the Ravens going to go through the roof because we said Taylor Swift.
Ooh, there we go.
They're going to come back to me, though.
I know the Kelce brothers are in competition with us on podcasts. So, Seahawks, they cut Jamal Adams, Quandre Diggs, and Will Disley. I know Disley's just kind of a blast tight end, but Diggs and Jamal Adams cut from the Seahawks, so they're trying. So, I'm telling you, man, this free agency is going to be like the NBA, just by some of the star players that are out in it, and I'm all for it. And it starts Monday. So, I may do some live shows or something Monday night. I might pop in. Well, shit, we're going to be at IUPUI. We may pop in live at IUPUI for the game.
In the law against it.
Yeah, so we may pop in. So we have that. Let's get our guy on. He's been on hold for the last 4 minutes here. What's going on, D-Cock?
Hey, fellas. Hey, great show as always. Love hearing the good stuff, man. Love hearing the updates. Appreciate the support. So I got a couple of topics I want to hit on. Actually three topics. First one, I want to hit IU because it's going to be the easiest one. I sent you guys that message. I listened to JMV, and again, he's taking subtle shots at Woody also. As I told you guys in end of January, what I said, I'm done with Indiana with the subliminal messages and all that stuff towards Woody. The guy came in to help his alma mater to stabilize consistency in leadership, consistency and intelligence of having a coach who's been there, done that, and also integrity, right? So no one thought he was going to be there for 15 years. Woody's been around for a long time, and I'm just getting tired of the digs being taken against him by the local folks here, acting as though they're supporting him, but really not really supporting him based off of what they're saying and hinting. And your boy JMV really, really told the line today. He almost said thugs when he talked about the players down there in Bloomington. So I'm probably going to stop listening to him too, because the guy he was talking to was, they were talking about the Fort Atlantic coach, who I guess JMV is a big fan of and is a neighbor of his family. So that's disappointing. So I'm gonna turn off any IU conversation going forward until they treat Woody right, because I'm telling you, it's not gonna end well for Woody. And I understand the.
I'm happy with Woody, man. I'm glad they're keeping him. I'm glad he finessed IU with that contract.
Hey, Brent, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Purdue's gonna be out in the second round anyway. But the point being is,
you wanna put money on it?
They can take. I don't bet. I'm not a gambler. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, okay.
But in all seriousness, though, right? And no dig on Purdue. Whatever works, right? But the point being is, you know, Woody came there to help his alma mater, not to save them and to bring the old blue blood back, as JB was just talking about earlier. He came to help his school that he loves, right? And to back his coach that he loves. So I just don't like the fact that people are taking digs on him that supposedly support the IU program, but behind the scenes subliminally saying things. So I don't.
That's
like
you,
that.
John. He's talking about you, Birdsong.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about JMV. I'm talking about Fish. I'm talking about those people who, quote unquote, are IU people. So I'll leave that alone. Let's talk Pacers, right? So Brandon, you and I were so dead on, man, on the TH deal. Last night, I counted 13 no-look passes for Halliburton. He played better, much better. He hit that three, threw his arms up in the air. The playing against Dallas, though, is an easier matchup because they pound the ball. Teams mm-hmm. that move the ball against the Pacers give them trouble, right? Teams that move like Golden State, Houston, Orlando, teams that kind of move the ball around, those teams give the Pacers so much trouble. If you're pounding the ball, they can work with that. So I wasn't surprised to see the Pacers win that game last night at all. Luka Doncic had 17 complaints, 31 arms in the air, and 11 FUs to the referee. So I'm glad we beat them, right? But with that said, to your point, Brandon, you talked about the sixth toughest schedule in this last, you know, almost 20 games. Hey, man, we all play 82. They had an opportunity to win those winnable games, and they didn't, right? And like I told you all 2 weeks ago, it's probably going to come back and bite them in the butt. I'm not saying not being able to get in there anywhere, but it's going to bite them in the butt from a perspective of what they were thinking about when they made the Pascal trade to today. They're 11-11 since Pascal's came. And granted, TH didn't play in four to five of those games. So I look forward to the Pacers playing tomorrow night. Of course, we'll be there tomorrow night. Definitely need to win. They need to continue to stack those wins, and let's see what happens, man. We saw the Buddy Hield thing today, right? Did y'all see let me rewind. Listen, man. I apologize about a month ago, right? I apologize a month ago. I love the fact he says, you know what? I'm going to give everything I got. And guess what? I don't have to apologize about it. So I love that, right? McTryhard is doing his thing, and I appreciate it. But he's not a starting guard. Because if you plan for him, it doesn't work. Think about last year when Tyrese was out. Okay, he put up good numbers, but we kept losing. So he's not that guy. He's the guy to come off the bench that the guys forget about. Not forget about, but don't play as hard against him versus TH. But did you see last night? You see who they put on him last night in the third quarter? Derrick Jones Jr., one of the better on-ball guards in the league, right? Yeah, he's not. He reminds me. What was the light-skinned kid's name from? It'll come to mind while I'm thinking about it. Anyway, but Derrick Jones Jr.
Hey, buddy.
Good defense. No, I was talking about for the Pacers. The dunking guy. We had him.
Another Duke kid.
I know you're going to come to my mind.
He went to Duke.
Yeah. So he very, very athletic, right? They put him on him because, hey, we're gonna stop this, right? And he slowed us down, but we played pretty well overall. So I'm happy with that. But let's not fool ourselves. Today is not a 30-minute a game guy. He's not. Plans for him is not going to happen, man. It's not going to happen.
Solid backup, though. Solid backup.
Yeah, listen. No. I take that away, JB. He's not a solid backup. He's a great backup. He's not solid. Mm-hmm. He's great. But that's his role. We talk about role players. Play your role. His role is the guy that comes in, gives the team a spark when they need it, and helps support and give Tyrese an extra breather, right? But he's a great backup. He's not a good backup. He's a great backup. And if Nembhard doesn't wake up or show some energy.
No,
I'm not saying he's going to leave. He's not going to get the time that he desires is what I'm saying.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a tough game to watch.
In Carlisle mind, my personal opinion, he would rather have Nembhard take those minutes, and they probably would have wanted to go ahead and trade T.J. McConnell,
and right,
maybe got young.
Yep, Yeah, because you could take him, and he's a young guy on a second-round contract. We've got him for 3 more years, man, if we decide we want him, right? So, yeah, it's a win-win. But he's got – he's not – and TJ's not out there, you know, throwing his hands in the air and getting guys' face, but he has so much energy. Maybe it's that coffee, that Jack's Donuts coffee he's drinking before every game. I'm not sure, but whatever it is, he needs to give something to all his teammates who are showing not a lack of energy, right?
Right.
So definitely a big fan of that, man. The other thing I wanted to talk about was Turner kind of reverted back two games ago about playing in traffic, right? He still struggles. Well, I'm going to say still struggles. He struggled a couple of nights ago, games ago, playing in traffic. It seems like he wants to avoid contact, and then he makes this noise as if he's fouled, right? He's still a keeper. He's still a guy I want to keep on the team, but we've got to know who he is, and hopefully the Pacers and their leadership understands that he can't be any better than your third best player in your team.
I got no mild criticism.
Hey, so did you guys hear the Buddy Hill thing today, right? Brandon, I know you heard it, right?
No, I was out on the golf course today.
We talking about letting
him I saw that. Did you? Hey, well, let me rewind real quick, Brandon. So, legitimately, how close was this hole in one?
It was close. That's probably the closest I've ever had.
Okay, fair enough.
It was about 6 inches. It hit about 4 feet, and then it rolled backwards, had some spin on it, and 7-iron from about 160 away in the face of the wind. And the guys were like, with me, were like, holy shit. And I'm like, because, you know, sometimes when you hit it, it's like, it's a good shot. It felt great. But then you get up there, and you're like, oh, it looks close. You get up there, and it's pretty far away. But up this one was pretty damn close. So I was
pleased. Well, I'll tell you what. Next time we're at Shelbyville, drinks on me, and I'll put your first $25 bet on Red 9. How's that?
Ooh, there we go. I like that. But what's this Buddy Hield thing?
So he had an interview, and he talked about his departure from Indiana. He talked about that he was a little conflicted with the playing time. He says guys weren't aware if they were going to play many minutes or no minutes during the game, right? Before that, he says, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I wasn't happy with playing those guys. I love playing those guys. But based on the circumstance, I'm not sure if they, meaning the leadership, wanted me there or not. And I'm trying to quote from memory. What he was saying was, listen, it's my last year of my contract. They weren't sure. I wasn't sure. And they wanted to get those young guys in there to play. So I was chatting with a buddy of mine last night regarding this, right, before the quotes came out. And I said to him, I said, you know, Ben is playing, and I'm not talking about Mathurin, our young Ben, is playing just as well overall as Buddy Hill played the first 35 games of the season. And the reason why I say that is because he plays a strong level of defense, and he's 6'8". And he's long, and he played really well. I hope he can continue with that. No knock on Buddy Hill in any way.
Oh, he's on
that dude.
He's on upward track. He's on upward track.
That dude's a gentleman. But let's be here real here, right? Let's not act like Pacers are going to go to the NBA Finals this year. We were hoping at best the Pacers would get through round one, one victory. That's the ceiling. So anybody says anything else other than that, they're just rose-colored glasses.
Well, the coach said he was thinking 4 seed, man. I was thinking realistically 5-6 seed. And that puts you around 41 games. That puts you around 41 games more.
Well, the thing is, it's still there. The opportunity is still there for the exact same thing. They're jumbled up. They've got 3.5 games. They could be from seed 8 right now to the 4th seed.
Yeah,
so it's jumbled up, but to Brandon's point, the schedule isn't conducive to jumping three teams, unless the Knicks and Philly fall back because of those injuries.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity, right? If that doesn't happen, I don't see it happen. I just don't want them in the play-in, because what that does, that triggers that first-round pick turning from a 20-something to a lottery pick, right?
Right.
For this year. But big picture-wise, we weren't going to do anything with it because you got Jairus Walker, and also you got Ben come along, and you got the other young players. So mm-hmm. it's still a good trade. I just don't know that the Pacers, it seems like there's something missing. I'm not talking Buddy Hield. There's something missing with the Pascal Siakam deal, right? He gets points not in the offense. He gets points off of broken plays and putbacks a lot more than I thought he did. Do either of you all see that, what I'm saying?
Somewhat.
Just not necessarily. The only criticism I got him, man, is that he's just not necessarily a reliable three-point shooter. I'm not saying he can't hit them. Just not necessarily, you
right.
know what I mean? But other than that, it could be better rebounder. You know what I'm saying? But he has some moments here.
Oh, absolutely. No knock.
Yeah.
Do you think he's a $42 million a year guy?
Man, that's the market. I can't tell you what. That's the market, dude. That's what he's going to get.
Yep.
That's
he ain't Danny
thing.
Manning, man. Danny Manning, I would give Danny Manning. If Danny Manning was a young man, and this, you know, if you remember what Danny Manning was, you know, in his prime, then that Danny Manning would get 42 million. I don't necessarily see, and I'm just saying Danny Manning because they kind of got the same body type. They both 6'10". Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, I don't know what kind of forward they were.
But Manning had better handles. Manning had better handles too.
Did he? You think?
Absolutely. Because and that's what I thought about Pascal, right? I was thinking he was a poor man's Kevin Durant, because I didn't see him, you know, I didn't watch him every night. I thought he was a poor man's Durant. He's two ticks below that.
Yeah, because you can't shoot
Exactly. And that's what threw me off, right? So, again, we're in him. He seems like he wants to be here. I think he can be
he's
a great piece
PJ
of what
Washington.
We do.
He's better than P.J. Washington.
All right.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. But definitely, I don't know you guys got to go, but I want to just kind of have my Pacers talk for sure. But I'm sure I'll be sharing some stuff tomorrow night at the game tomorrow night, too.
Sounds good, D-Cop. Appreciate you.
All right, fellas. Y'all be safe.
Yep.
All right, it's our guy, D-Cop. Last two things, John. We got to wrap. Reminder, tomorrow, me and John will be at Butler. If you want to give that shout-out, John, and then obviously for Monday, Tuesday. I have nothing left. The wife is calling for dinner, and I can't keep her waiting. I'll let you give the wrap.
Yeah, me and Brandon Reaper will be on Butler campus tomorrow. At JR 210 writing and reporting class, 8:15. We'll be speaking to that class about Crossroads Sports and you know what I'm saying, and how all that kind of comes together. I know we're also probably going to meet up with, Butler Dogcast host Eva Holman as well, man. So it's going to be a big day tomorrow, man. And then, like I said, like Brandon Reese said, we'll be at the Horizon League Championships both Monday night and Tuesday night, you know what I'm saying, on the sideline, man. We'll see you on the sideline. Outside of that, man, thanks to our sponsors, Kyle K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Thanks to our sponsors, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, man. How could we do Crossroads Sports without them? Thanks to D-Cop for calling in, man. He's Crossroads Pro Sports' greatest caller, man, until Reggie gets his act together, man. Outside of that, man, I'm Jonathan Birdsong. That's Brandon Reese, man. Everybody, thanks for listening. Y'all be good to one another.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.
East Central Indiana is growing, and Hancock Health is growing with it, giving new arrivals and longtime residents everything you need to live a better, healthier life. Like wellness centers to strengthen your body and mind, providers who hear you before they heal you, and advice from the world-leading Mayo Clinic anytime it's needed. We've put all the pieces in place
to put better health in reach. Discover a health network built around you at hancockhealth.org/explore.
This is your invitation to a masterclass in engineering and design. Your ticket to go from 0 to 60 with the Lexus Performance Line. A feeling this dynamic is invite only. Fortunately, you're invited. Experience the exhilaration of the Lexus Performance Line and some of the best offers of the year on select models at the Invitation to Lexus sales event, now through April 1st. Click the banner to discover more. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.